You're listening to Shalise's podcast.
Awesome. Okay, well, you guys, it's December 1st. Can you believe it? It's crazy. Where's 2025 gone? It's gone. Almost 30 days, right? 31 days. And we're in 2026, if you can believe it or not. But I am back after, it's almost 7 months. It would be 7 months on the 6th. So I stepped back. My last broadcast with you guys was back in May, on May 6th. And so it has been a minute since I've been here in the group with you guys. And I'll be chatting kind of what I've been up to over the last 7 months here in a little bit. But let's kick it off today with just some prayer. I haven't got to pray with you guys in a minute. So I'm not promising this won't be a long prayer. It might not be a long prayer. It could be a short prayer, but I just don't know, right? So anyway, Father, Jesus, Holy Spirit, we are so happy to be here together today with you. Thank you that when two or more are gathered in your name, Jesus, that you are there with us in a special way. And so right now, Jesus, I just declare that the eyes of our understanding are enlightened and we can see you. We can see where you are with us in this special way. I thank you that you are with people in the car if they're driving. You're with people in the bathroom while they're getting ready, wherever they are right this very minute, Jesus, you are there. And I thank you that you're always there. You're always in us, but I thank you that you're also with us. And so I just pray that, again, that the eyes of our understanding would be enlightened so that we could experience you for real. I thank you that our relationship with you absolutely operates by faith because you're invisible, but I thank you that the Holy Spirit manifests you to us. I thank you that this is a real Jesus. You are real. You have been resurrected from the dead. And you not only live in us, Jesus, but you are seated on the throne right this very second. And we are also seated right there with you too. This gospel is the best news that's ever been told. And we just can't hear it enough, Jesus. It's too easy to fall back asleep and be led by our physical senses and our natural circumstances to not get to hear it more than once all the time. And so I just thank you that this is the gospel. And I thank you that when the gospel's preached, signs and wonders follow. And I just thank you for the word of the month for December. I thank you for this resurrection frequency and your desire for us to know the power of your resurrection that works in us, that is the same very spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwelling in us right this very minute. And I thank you that you just want it to be a manifested reality, not just a theology, not just a scripture that we read, but everything about the kingdom, everything about our relationship with you is meant to be manifested. And so I just thank you for your manifest presence right this very minute. We just take a moment and breathe in. Yeah, your presence right this very minute. Wow, we just breathe in your goodness. Yeah, we just exhale any distractions or any worry or any tension or stress. Jesus, I just pray that we would be able to enter into this moment together, fully present right here in this present moment, fully aware of you, fully aware of what you're speaking. You said to be still and know that you are God. And so I just speak to our inner worlds right this very moment. And I just say, peace, be still. Yeah, I just say, peace, be still. Whew. And now, Father, I just yield my body as a living sacrifice. I thank you for the work that you've been doing in me over the last 7 months. Goodness knows it hasn't been easy, but I thank you that you've been with me in it. And I thank you that that's your promise. You said in the world, you'll have trouble, but be of good cheer because you've overcome the world. And I thank you that you have. I thank you that you've overcome the flesh. You've overcome, yeah, the old man. You've overcome the world. And so we just settle into that reality right now. And I say, just think through my mind, speak through my lips. Bless your people with what it is that you want them to hear today and what it is that you want them to say, Papa. You are so over the moon, over the top in love with each of us, Lord. You are mindful of us. You are always thinking about us. We are always on your mind. And so I just say, open our ears right now so that we can hear your sweet nothings, so that we can hear your voice clearly, and that we can hear exactly what it is that we need to hear today, that we can hear those words of encouragement, that we can hear your direction, your guidance, your comfort, whatever it is. I thank you that you are the source for everything that we need. And so I just bless us today, Lord. I bless our time together. I bless this broadcast. I bless this word. And I thank you that the Holy Spirit is the one that's doing all of the work as we spend our time together today. Just move the way that you want to move, Holy Spirit. Heal what you want to heal. Ooh, shine the light on what you want us to see. We just fully make ourselves available to the move of your Spirit right now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. Oh my goodness, you guys. Well, it has been a minute since I've been with you, and I have been in a pretty intense season with Jesus since May. I worried a little bit about hopping on today that I would have the words to even describe really what God has been doing in me this year, but I'll just kick it off because it really started, honestly, New Year's Eve of 2024, when I got this word for the tribe, right? That the way that God wants to manifest through us as us is mind-blowing. And I started taking us on a journey in the beginning of the year into that word. I don't know if you remember, but I released a little mini ebook called Mind Blown. I'll make sure and put a copy of that here for you guys again somewhere. I'll make sure that you have access to that in the comments or something after this broadcast in case you didn't see that book, because it really was kind of a setup for what I feel like God was speaking over me, over this tribe, really over the planet heading into 2025. And it really has been for me, and I do believe this, you know, I go into it in the book a little bit more, but it really has been about this global awakening that is happening all over the planet, where the illusion of separation from God is completely being dismantled in our psyche and in our body. And we are coming into a new level of embodiment, is the best way I know how to say it, of the resurrected Lord Jesus Christ. You know, we have heard the gospel. Goodness knows, if you've been listening to my podcast for 5 minutes, you've heard the gospel, right? That we have been co-crucified with Jesus. We have been co-raised with Jesus. We are now co-ascended with Jesus. We're seated in heavenly places with Jesus. And obviously, we have been introduced to our oneness with Jesus. I mean, union has been the gospel that I have been preaching since I've been preaching, right? The early 2000s, when Jesus had me meditating on Colossians 1:27. Sorry, I got a hair in my face. Colossians 1:27 for a whole year, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Now, if you've listened to my podcast very long, you probably get tired of hearing me say that. But here's the reality. We are brand new creatures, brand new species of being. And all of creation is moaning and groaning for the manifestation of the sons of God. That means you and me. It means the manifestation of the real you and me. Okay, there is only one of you. There is only one of me. And we are a unique God-breathed idea that originated in the mind and the heart of God before time began. In Ephesians chapter 1, it says that we were chosen in him before the foundation of the world, meaning that we were in Christ well before the fall, well before we were in Adam. And we are God's idea. Ephesians 2:10 says we are God's workmanship. We are his masterpiece. We are his poem. We're his work of art. You are this beautiful idea of God that has now entered time and entered history in the year, whatever year you were born, to be a unique expression of Yahweh, to be a unique expression of Jesus with your personality, with your gifts, with your talents, with your perspective. You are a glorious creature. And the plan of God for your life and for my life all along has been for this for you, the real you, the fullness of who God created you to be manifested here on earth. And the reason that creation is groaning for you is because you carry something that sets creation free. And I'm going to read today. I wasn't quite sure where I was going to go because I literally have about 60 pages of notes on this topic. So I'm really having to be spirit led because there's so much, so much that I can be sharing about this topic. But where I want to start in today is I'm going to go into Romans 8. And I want to read about this groaning of creation. Okay, I'm going to read in the Passion Translation because I just for some reason feel like that's going to be good. Let's go in here. It says, I do know why I chose this one because it's beautiful. Okay, it says this. Verse 18, it says, I'm convinced that any suffering we endure is less than nothing compared to the magnitude of glory that is about to be unveiled within us. And I just want to say right now that there is a magnitude of glory that you and I have not even fathomed, that we have not even imagined, that is yet to be unveiled. Think of it like the transfiguration, where Jesus went up to the Mount of Transfiguration, and all of a sudden, it was like anything in the flesh or in the natural realm that was obscuring the glory of who he was just was unveiled, right? It just that natural realm just dissipated and this glory of Jesus became visible. And I'm telling you that there is a magnitude of glory. Christ in you as you is more glorious and more magnificent than you have ever imagined. And I love the way this verse talks about it. Nobody likes to talk about suffering, but no matter what kind of suffering we go through, it says that it's nothing. Like the worst kind of suffering is nothing, zero, when compared to the magnitude of glory that God is about to unveil in you. And guess what? This unveiling is not supposed to happen after we die. Okay, this isn't about glorification in heaven someday. No, this is about the full manifestation of the gospel and the full manifestation of Christ in you as you right now. Because guess what? Creation isn't groaning for this to happen after you're gone. No, it's the manifestation of the sons of God now in this hour. The kingdom of God has arrived and it's inside of you. The full kingdom, the fullness of the Godhead, the same spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead is in you right now, right? So where's the disconnect here? Where's the disconnect between this glory, this magnitude of glory that is inside of us and then our just kind of everyday life? Well, that's what I want to be talking about. I want to be talking about something called the resurrection frequency today. But let me continue to read this scripture. It says this. It says, the entire universe is standing on tiptoe. Okay, that means that it is an anticipating the unveiling of you. There is this crescendo that's building in creation over the manifestation of the fullness of the masterpiece that you are. Okay, here's what it says. The entire universe is standing on tiptoe, yearning to see the unveiling of God's glorious sons and daughters. For against its will, the universe itself has had to endure the empty futility resulting from the consequences of human sin. But now with eager expectation, all of creation longs for freedom from its slavery to decay and to experience with us the wonderful freedom coming to God's children. Okay, I want to highlight, there's a lot of things I could say here right now, but let me tell you exactly what creation is longing for. It says here that all of creation longs from the freedom from its slavery to decay. Okay, so there is a cycle in the earth of death and decay that the universe is standing on tiptoe, waiting for the sons of God and the glory that is inside the sons of God to be unveiled, so that its slavery to decay and its slavery to death could be ended. And this is the glory of the sons of God. This is the glory that you and I carry. We carry what I'm calling, or what Papa is calling, the resurrection frequency that sets creation free from decay. Now, this is not just the gospel of salvation that I'm preaching to you right now, okay? This is not just, I mean, even though it is, the gospel of salvation means the gospel of sozo, means the gospel of perfect wholeness and perfection. But when we think of the word salvation, we typically think of it being saved from hell, or, you know, you get to go to heaven. But that's not the gospel that I'm preaching right now, okay? I am preaching the declaration that Jesus's victory over death, and that his proclamation that he is the resurrection and that he is life, that was demonstrated when he was raised from the dead out of the grave, is a right now reality. That power, the power of his resurrection, the power over death and decay, dwells in you and I right now. And creation is moaning and groaning for the governance and freedom over decay and over death to manifest through us and resurrect creation into the newness of life that Jesus has already established in us. Now, if you have never heard anything about, you know, dominion over decay, I'm sure you have because you've been watching me and I'm sure you're in tune with this. I mean, this is a radical, radical idea. And so, in fact, it's so radical that we have not, I think, sometimes dared to actually believe that this could actually be a reality for us. Yes, we hear about people being raised from the dead here and there, right? I mean, I myself have seen rigor mortis leave a corpse as I just took authority over death. I have prayed with people and seen their loved ones raised from the dead on the phone, right? So resurrection as an event, we have a little bit of a mental construct for. But resurrection as a lifestyle, meaning the same kind of glory that Jesus demonstrated post-resurrection, is a reality for us right now. We're talking about anti-aging, right? We're talking about better than Kris Jenner's facelift, okay? Right? We're talking about the power of God that was on the Israelites when they were wandering through the wilderness and their shoes didn't wear out. Okay? This is a place where rust doesn't exist. Right? This is the kingdom. This is a place where there is no death, there is no decay, there is no entropy, or however they say that, atrophy. There is no signs of the fall and the law of sin and death that causes those things. And creation, the Apostle Paul is saying that creation is moaning and groaning for us to step into the reality of immortal life, deathless life right now. And I can tell you that this was the Apostle Paul's mission. This was his mission. Okay, I want to read to you guys in Philippians chapter 3. This is one of my favorite chapters in scripture because I feel like it describes this transfiguration of the Apostle Paul. Okay, it's his story of how he started when he was first introduced to Jesus in this manufactured persona of, you know, Paul, right? Well, he was Saul, okay? His name was Saul. He wasn't Paul yet. And everything in his identity was based upon his natural lineage. It was based upon his religion. He had this self or this ego construct of Saul that he lived from. And of course, when he met Jesus on the road to Damascus and had this crazy encounter that ended up blinding him, right? He was blind for 3 days. I think that's significant. But you know what happened is yes, he was physically blinded, but what started happening is he was actually awakening. And he was awakening to the person of Jesus Christ. And then as Paul awakened to Jesus, well, guess what? Then he began to be awakened to who he was. And it says in Galatians chapter 1 that he was separated from his mother's womb to be an apostle to the Gentiles. And so Jesus starts revealing Paul to Paul. And there's this beautiful journey that Paul takes us on in Philippians chapter 3 of Paul discarding and taking off the persona of Saul. You can think of that as the old man that was crucified with Christ, right? This who he thought he was, who he learned to be through culture and through his family and through his synagogue, you know, through his religious instruction. This false construct of who Saul was began to be crucified in the same way Jesus was crucified. And Philippians, it just talks about what Paul's journey was. So I'll read a little bit of this because this is the awakening that we have stepped into this awakening has been happening all throughout history, but I'm telling you, there is an acceleration across the globe. You know, you've heard me talk about, you know, David Hawkins and the map of consciousness and the global consciousness level. I mean, David Hawkins is not a Christian, but he just developed one of the first most comprehensive maps of human consciousness. And the reason why it's so powerful is because it starts to give us a framework and a language around the different perceptual lenses that operate in different levels of human consciousness. Now, it's organized around what you might call like the predominant emotion that a particular consciousness level operates in. So for example, level 20 is shame, right? Level 600 is, I think it's peace, right? But it just goes shame, anger, pride, you know, human reasoning. And there's just, I don't have it in front of me right this minute, but the map just goes up the scale from very low all the way up to very high, from 20 to 1,000. And through the studies that David Hawkins did, it's been determined that human consciousness did not even rise like globally as a baseline until the 80s above 200. And 200 is the baseline where you go from survival, where you go from to me victim consciousness into what they call by me consciousness, right? So I'm just saying that there has been a gradual evolution and increase in the consciousness of the planet over the course of human history. And we are alive in a time where this is accelerating dramatically. And when I talk about this elevation in human consciousness, what I'm talking about is I'm talking about coming out of the old man identity. I'm talking about waking up outside of the constructs and the labels and the ideas of who we are and stepping into the new creation reality of who we really are and stepping into our true self, stepping into what I would say our scroll, right? Which our scroll is just means the original design, divine design that God spoke into being when he thought and created when he thought of and created us back before the beginning of time. You have a specific design in Christ that is unique to you. And you were born into this earth and into a fallen system and into what I call the matrix, right? And then you, from the moment you hit the planet, you were raised in a distorted reality called the world system that was steeped in separation. And we learned to survive, and we developed an identity, a version of ourselves that is not who we truly are. Okay. This is when we define ourselves by, people will say this, I'm the kind of person who da 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 da. And I always tell people when they say that, well, you're the kind of person who tells you what kind of person you are. Meaning, we have these ideas about who we are, just like the Apostle Paul had ideas about who he was. But in Philippians chapter 3, he's telling you and telling me that he threw all that away. He considered it trash. He considered it rubbish when he began to understand the excellency of knowing Jesus Christ. And then he goes on further to say, specifically in the Amplified Version, that his determined purpose is to know Jesus and the power of his resurrection. Hey, let me just go there really quick. I'm not going to take the time to go through all of Philippians chapter 3 just for time's sake, but let me just read that scripture to you in verse 10. This is in the Amplified Classic Version. It says, for my determined purpose is that I may know him, that I may progressively become more deeply and intimately acquainted with him, perceiving and recognize and understanding the wonders of his person more strongly and more clearly, and that I may in the same way come to know the power outflowing from his resurrection, which it exerts over believers, and that I may so share in his sufferings as to be continually transformed in spirit in his likeness, even to his death, in the hope that if possible, I might attain to the spiritual and mortal resurrection that lifts me out from among the dead, even while in the body. Now, that was verse 10 through 11. He says in verse 12, not that I've already attained this or been made perfect yet, but this is what he's pressing. This is what he's pressing towards. What is he pressing towards? He's pressing towards this intimate knowledge of who Jesus is and an intimate experiential knowing of the power of Jesus's resurrection. Why? So that he can experience resurrection and be so co-crucified with Jesus, so co-crucified with the old man, that he would walk as a transfigured, resurrected human being while he was alive on earth. And so the progression of Philippians chapter 3 is taking Paul out of his earthly human constructed identity into this revelation of his one singular purpose and goal, which was to be so conformed to the image of Jesus in himself, as himself, that he would be transfigured and experience resurrection life in his mortal body now. Now, I can tell you that the Apostle Paul was absolutely walking in this. That's why he could be stoned and left for dead outside of the city. Let me tell you, those people were professionals when it came to stoning. They knew if someone was dead or not. They drug him outside of the city because he was dead. All right? He was dead. They left him for dead because either he was going to die, there was no chance of recovery, or he was already dead. And you know what happened? Resurrection life entered into, came through the Apostle Paul, and he got up and he walked back to the city. You know, they say that the reason that the Apostle John was exiled to the island of Patmos was because they couldn't kill him. They supposedly put him in a vat of boiling oil and they couldn't kill him. So they just put him on Patmos because they just exiled him, right? I mean, history is filled with people who walked in this power. Now, does it mean that they ultimately didn't die? I mean, the Apostle Paul, he was a martyr. John, did they ultimately die? Yes, but they were walking in something where they were governing death, not a victim to death. Jesus said it this way, and I want to connect the dots here. In John chapter 11, and when he was raising Lazarus from the dead, he said this in verse 25. And I know we've heard these scriptures, but I want to visit them a little bit more today. I went into Luke. I didn't mean to go to Luke. I meant to go to John. John chapter 11. It says this in verse 25. Jesus said to her, well, again, this is at Lazarus's grave. You know the story. Jesus is about to raise Lazarus, but I want to hone in on this scripture. In verse 23, Jesus said to her, your brother shall rise again. Martha replied, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Okay. And Jesus said to her, I'm in the Amplified Classic version. I am myself the resurrection and the life. And then he says something very, very crazy. And I think if you sit with these scriptures and just read them for what they actually say, you are confronted with something that you probably have never sat with very long. Here's what it says. Whoever believes in me, okay, and then it has this amplification of believes in, whoever adheres to, trusts in, and relies on me, although he may die, yet he shall live. Now, this is the gospel. This is the hope of resurrection that most of us have grown up with in Western evangelical Christianity. All right. It's the same thing that Martha replied. I know that he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Okay. So we have placed in our theology as resurrection that is something that can happen in this realm, right? Someone can be raised from the dead. There's scriptural precedent for it. There's modern day precedent for it. So the possibility of resurrecting someone who has died, we say, okay, that's possible. But we also know, okay, they're going to be resurrected, but then they're going to die again, right? Now, hopefully they won't die sick. You've heard a gospel that says, you know what? Death just can't come in and take you. You don't have to die sick. You have dominion over illness, and you can live a long, satisfied life, and you just give up the ghost when you have lived a long, satisfied life. And that's like a positive gospel that most of us have heard if you've been in charismatic circles for half a second, right? So we've learned, okay, we have dominion over death, dominion over disease. So we don't, you know, sickness is illegal in the kingdom. And so healing is the children's bread. And so therefore we can live long, healthy, and strong and decide. We can govern death from the perspective of I'm ready to go old and hopefully not, you know, too frail. But I want to pull us into here to what Jesus actually said. And I want to talk about this frequency, the frequency of resurrection or the resurrection frequency that Papa spoke to me on November 20th at 3:31 in the morning. I said it was 3:30, but it was actually 3:31. I wrote it down in my journal exactly when I got it because I didn't manufacture that. Okay. That came straight from the Father and it jarred me awake. Okay. To let me know that this was what I was supposed to talk to anyone that wanted to listen in December about, but it's tied right here to what Jesus said in verse 26. Okay. So he said, so let me go back to 25. It says, Jesus said to her, I am myself the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, although he may die, yet he shall live. Okay. Western gospel, charismatic gospel. We don't have a problem with that. It's our hope of resurrection. We're like, praise God. You know, we will never die. Our physical body will go to dust, but we're coming back, right? That's the one we know. Verse 26, it says this, and whoever continues to live and believes in me, has faith and cleaves to and relies on me, shall never actually die at all. Do you believe this? Now, wait a second. Okay, there's two classes of people here that Jesus is describing. And he's describing them in his identification of himself. Okay, he says, I am the resurrection and I am the life. Okay, so two I am statements of Jesus. I don't just perform resurrections. I wasn't just resurrected. Okay, but Jesus is saying, I am the resurrection, capital R, and I am the life, capital L. Okay, I don't have time right now to go into like a Greek word study of those words, but that is fascinating.
And because we have AI and ChatGPT and all these things now, you can actually go in there and say to chat and say, give me the Greek, the original Greek for John 11:25 and 11:26, and study out exactly what that word, the Greek word for resurrection is and the Greek word for life. Zoe is the word for life. And I don't have it in my notes. I have it in my notes, but I'm not going to say it right now. I can't remember. The resurrection is a different Greek word. I want to pull you back to this point that says, and whoever continues to live and believes in me shall never actually die at all. Do you believe this? Now, we have spiritualized the scripture and we have made it to mean that physical death is not actual death, okay? It just means your body ceases to exist. But I want to pull you, if you want more information on this scripture, Tommy Miller wrote a great book called Deathless. We actually spent a lot of time in it, I don't know, a couple of years ago. I'll pull it back in if you want to learn more about this. There's an actual great section he does in that book on that, about this verse in that book. But I want to pull you back into what I'm actually, I don't want you to just shut me off without being able to hear what I'm saying because of Western evangelical theology. All right. I want you to consider that death itself and decay itself, because of who Jesus is, that because he has complete authority and dominion, and his essence is life, his essence brings the dead to life, like his essence, his nature, his being, his ontology is resurrection and life. I want you to think about it like, you know, I don't know, my husband forgot to bring some aloe vera plants in, okay? And we had a frost, right? And so he was like, oh my gosh, do you think these are saved? These are, you know, salvageable. And the point is that they look dead. But in the presence of resurrection and life, guess what? They just come back, right? And I just kept seeing a vision of us walking around. And, you know, I remember one time not too long ago, I had these balloons that lasted like 8 months just in my office. And it was just like a little experiment where I just kept the balloon in here to see if it would act like balloons don't last 8 months. You know, just like these experiments of how long will flowers last. I have these flowers in my house right now that have been, I don't even know, they're at least 6 weeks old, right? So there's this idea. Not just an idea, the idea is a person. It's Jesus, who is the resurrection, is the life, and that person is inside of us. And the Apostle Paul made it his determined purpose to step into the true essence of Jesus as alive inside of him and live from a place where life and resurrection was governing through him. So there is the frequency of resurrection is not something that you and I have to get. Okay, it's not something that we are missing. It is something that is inside of us that has simply been obscured by the false self, by the idea of who we are versus the truth and the reality of who we are. And my season for the last 7 months has been basically shedding Shalice as a construct and shedding the perception of myself as the voices in my head, as the thoughts in my head, as anything other than pure consciousness, pure awareness, and abiding in Christ in the present moment, together as one with him. And there is a perceptional shift that happens when you can wade through the false ideas of who you are, of all the voices in your head. You are not your thoughts. You are not the voices in your head. In fact, the more that you awake to your true I, and your, that your I is Christ, and that your I is the observer of all the voices that think they're you, okay? Your voices think they're you. You're talking to yourself. Who's talking? What self? Who's talking to who? Who's arguing with who? It's like, wait a second. No, we take a step back. We take a step back from all that inner chatter and that inner war that's all based on the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And we just take a step back behind that into observation mode, and you start to realize that that's where your true life is. Your true life is hidden in Christ behind all of these constructs, these egoic constructs that have tried to convince us that we are someone that we're not. And so there's this place of operating outside of the false you that is awareness, that is awake, that is spiritually minded, that is, has life and has peace, that is operating already at the resurrection frequency. And the more that we become aware of our awareness and our ability to step back out of the mind of the flesh and the old man monkey brain chatter, then the more that we begin to be able to rest, and the more that we are able to begin to recognize all of the things that have been driving us, that hasn't been our spirit, that hasn't been the presence of God, whether those are deadlines, whether those are time, whether those are pressure, whether those opinions of other people, whether those are the shoulds and the should nots and the rules and the responsibilities, all of these constructs that you just, what starts to happen is you start to kind of take a step back, and now you start to see the matrix even more clearly. Why? All because you stepped out of your this persona of who you are that you never were. And really what we're talking about is a death. It's like in that moment when you step into that place, it's a death of the old man. It's the putting off of the old man. And it's the putting on or the resurrection power of the new, because you're already alive. Jesus's resurrection was our resurrection too, it says in Colossians 3:1. And so we are existing perpetually in the same frequency that Jesus operated in post-resurrection. That power that raised Jesus up from the dead is you. You are, as Jesus is, so are you in this world. So on some, your eye and his eye are one eye. That's why it's called a single eye. I know it's a play on words, but it's true. The personal pronoun I, when Paul said, I have been crucified with Christ, who? Saul was crucified with Christ. Yet I live, but my I, right, is now a new I. I have a new personal pronoun I, and it's the real Shalice. It's the real you. And the real you exists in perpetual union with Jesus. So why did the Apostle Paul make it his determined purpose to know Jesus and the power of his resurrection? Well, because if you keep reading in Colossians chapter 3, it says, when you see him for who he is, who you really are will be revealed. So the more that you explore and know the wonders of his person and you intimately begin to experience who he is, well, guess what? Who you are becomes unveiled. It is this beautiful process of transfiguration that occurs through our intimate knowledge and abiding and awareness and communion with the person of Jesus. So if we go back to Philippians chapter 3, verse 10, one more time, in that amplified version of that scripture, let's go back to it. And you can just, the whole chapter 3 is so beautiful in the Amplified Classic version. It says this, my determined purpose is that I may know him. And then what the Amplified version does here is it amplifies that Greek word know, which is gnosko. And it says this, it says that I would know him, that I may progressively become more deeply and intimately acquainted with him, perceiving and recognizing and understanding the wonders of his person more strongly and more clearly. So the Apostle Paul said, my whole goal in life is to know him. I want to progressively know the wonder of his person. Okay, now I am going to take us really quickly now to Colossians 3, and I'm going to take us in the Passion Translation. It says this in verse 4, as Christ himself is seen for who he really is, who you really are will be revealed, for you are now one with him in his glory. I'm going to go back to Philippians 3 now in the Amplified Classic, and I'm going to finish what the Apostle Paul said, because in the same way he was focused on knowing Jesus, well, guess what? He was also focused in the same way on knowing the power of Christ's resurrection. I mean, listen to this. And he says, and that I may in the same way come to know the power outflowing from his resurrection. Which way? Well, progressive, more deeply, intimately acquainted with it, perceiving it, recognizing it, and understanding it. So there is a depth in resurrection. There is a depth in the power of the resurrection. There is a depth in the revelation of the frequency of resurrection that overcomes decay and brings Zoe life as a present reality in our mortal bodies, in our mortal bodies. Now, practically, I believe that we have stepped into this. I think we stepped into it at the beginning of the year, but I think it's interesting that we're kind of wrapping up the year with this idea of the resurrection frequency. Because I do believe that this last part of this scripture is exactly what God is saying. And he says this, why make knowing Jesus, why make knowing the power of his resurrection your purpose, Paul? Why? There's a purpose here. He says that if possible, I might attain to the resurrection that lifts me out from among the dead, even while I'm in the body. So the Apostle Paul wanted, let me tell you what he wanted. He wanted to answer the groan of creation. He wanted to be someone that was a manifested son that was freeing creation from its slavery to decay. This was a lofty purpose, you would think, that the Apostle Paul set his sights on. But I'm here to tell you that this is a fulfilled scripture, okay? Yes. Creation is moaning and groaning for the manifestation of the sons of God. But guess what? We are destined to be conformed to the image of Jesus, not just theoretically, not just theologically, but experientially in our physical bodies, in our nervous systems that have been wired for survival and bracing for, the next whatever danger around the corner. No, there is a upgrade that is coming through the resurrection frequency in this hour that is literally shifting not only our consciousness, but it is shifting our physical bodies. It is upgrading, wow, our bodies to the design blueprint of I am the resurrection and I am the life. And the more that we are in that place of awareness as Jesus, as us, the frequency is vibrating. The frequency is vibrating. The frequency is being released. And this is something that you already have, that you already are. You are not waiting to get this. You are simply like blowing the clouds of the false I out of the way so that you can actually experience yourself not as, the voices in your head, not as the emotions that you're feeling, but as the observer of those things in active awareness as the I of the personal pronoun I, as the I of the I. And now your perception is awakened. It's awakened. And from this place of abiding, we govern. But we don't just govern, we vibrate. Everything has a frequency. Every atom in our body, my phone, my microphone, my coffee cup, everything has a frequency. And Jesus Christ is in you, and he is the frequency of the resurrection and the life, which means so are you. So beloved, as we step into December, I just believe that if you're here listening to me and you're a part of this journey, I just want to invite you into stepping into Elevate this month. Okay. I part of what I did in the last 7 months is been rethinking everything, the way that I work with people, the work that I'm going to be doing, started writing a few books. Like I have, like there's a new alignment coming with the way that I work and the way that I work with people. And so every single month, starting in December, we're going to have a word of the month that's going to drop on the first of the month. And then in Elevate that month, we're going to be diving deep into the embodiment and the prophetic process that God wants to take us through as we partner with the revelation that he is pouring out to us in our own transfiguration. Okay, I am here for one purpose, the glorification of the saints, the manifestation of the sons of God, the transfiguration of the body of Christ. And so every single month, we're going to be diving deep. And every single month, I will have a meditation for you. I will have a prayer recording for you. We'll do an in-depth, a deeper dive on the training. The Tuesday after the prophetic word is released, we'll have a coaching call once a month so that we can step into the prophetic process that we are in the middle of right now. And so for December, that's going to be all around the resurrection frequency. And so there are practical tools inside of Elevate that help you embody this and help you meditate on this. You know, it's like, we're so full of sermons and we're so full of teachings sometimes that we're confused. I know it because I get messages from you guys and I get all kinds of feedback from you guys. And what I want to share with you is that, I mean, I cannot tell you how often I just turn the world off. Like I will not ever operate how I operated prior to the last 7 months. Again, I cannot. Okay, there is a new level of stillness. There is a new level of discernment around what voice is actually trying to lead over external pressure, over deadlines, and just anything moving me that isn't the spirit, that isn't freedom, that isn't aligned with my own heart and my own cadence and my own rhythm, which frankly, until you kind of unplug, you don't even know that you have that. But I encourage you, I'm going to put the information up for Elevate. I encourage you to jump in. I'll be doing another training there tomorrow at 10 and then walking you guys through a meditation, a prayer. And then we also have some mirror meditations and things that we'll be doing in Elevate this month. So if you're not a part of that, I encourage you to jump in. Man, the feedback we get, I mean, there's people that just, you know, they do, it's part of their morning routine. They listen to the meditation every single morning and just the transfiguration and the growth in people that are really jumping into these topics is phenomenal. And when you step in, there's over 2 years of content of my teaching. And so think of it like if you have enjoyed my podcast, like it's just in depth teaching on new creation reality. So that's my invitation. That's the word of this month. Do believe that, you know, some of the things to meditate on just in general will be John 11, 25 and 26, just stepping into this possibility that we can live free from decay, that we can live as a governor over the process of death and decay, not just sickness and disease. This isn't about healing, guys. This is about being a frequency where it cannot exist in your body and it cannot exist in your presence. This is about a transmission. This is about being the frequency of resurrection. Just your presence, your very presence brings life. So I pray that this blessed you. I didn't look at any of y'all's comments when I was teaching any of this. I just was in the flow. But I hope to see you in Elevate this month. I will be back at the beginning of the year for the word of the year in 2026. And I'll be active in social media more now that I've stepped back into this. And there's going to be some other things coming this month that I'll be sure that you're aware of. And I'll probably hop on live at some point and just share with you more. So I love you guys. Happy December. Happy Advent. And we'll see you soon. Okay. God bless. Bye.
Thanks for listening to Shalisa's podcast. This recording is, in part, made possible by our listeners. To partner with us, visit shalise.com, where you can donate and help us spread the good news of our unshakable union with Christ around the globe. You can also find a link there to download Shalise's book, The Path, for free. And if you're ready to discover the call of God on your life and the purpose He created you for, then visit us at shalise.com and watch Shalise's free training, where you'll hear 5 keys to hearing God about your life purpose and transitioning into it. Thanks again for listening. Until next time, don't forget, the world needs the Christ in you.